Well, it's the third Tuesday of the month again, which means it's time for the Aurum Update. And joining me on the line this evening is Dr. Mary Latka. She's an epidemiologist at Aurum, as well as being the principal investigator for the Voice trial at the Aurum site. Good evening, Mary. Welcome to the show.
Good evening. Thanks for having me.
I think before we start, let's just explain what the Voice trial is. It stands for the Vaginal and Oral Interventions to Control the Epidemic trials. Rather a long mouthful, so Voice is a lot easier to say.
Yes, it is. The Voice trial is a large trial that's happening across 8 sites throughout Southern Africa. 5 of those sites will be in South Africa, so it will be conducted among a large sample of women that are representative across the Southern African region. It's testing a microbicide product that's using an ARV-based experimental drug. And this is the same medicine that's currently used to treat people who are already HIV positive to help them stay well. So the idea here is that we'll be testing this study product to see if it can actually prevent HIV infection in otherwise healthy, well volunteers.
We've recently heard about these amazing results that have come out from, I think it was the Caprisa 004 microbicide trial study, and those results were quite promising.
Yes, they are very promising, but they do need to be confirmed. This study was conducted only in South Africa, in KwaZulu-Natal at 2 sites, and it was testing a similar product as that being tested in Voice. However, it was testing only the gel formulation. So gel used at around the time of sex, a dose just before and just after sex. And what they found was that the women who were randomly assigned to have the active ingredient compared with women assigned to take a placebo gel, they had a 39% reduction in their HIV rates over time. And that's just a phenomenal finding, but it does need to be confirmed because in epidemiology, one study alone is not enough evidence to move a product into it getting licensed and putting it on the shelves.
Now, this gel, it's the tenofovir gel that was used for the trial. That was funded by the governments of both United States and South Africa.
Yes, it was.
And where are we going from here now? We've had this initial trial, which looks very promising. Now we've got the Voice trial that is starting. I think it starts in Klerksdorp. And it's going to be, as you said, a number of sites around South Africa. What are we hoping to find out from this new Voice trial investigation?
Well, it's really important, as I said before, to confirm the results because we can't just move a product to licensure just on one trial. The Voice trial is also going to add to the knowledge base. In addition to confirming, it's testing both a tablet formulation as well as a gel formulation. And it's also testing a different dosing strategy in that women will be asked to use whatever product they're assigned to on a daily basis. And now that's really important because we know from the literature, from years of contraceptive research, that giving women options and choice is best. That's going to produce the greatest amount of prevention uptake because different strokes for different folks. People like to have different things.
Now, the concern, though, I would imagine from people listening to this is, you know, if you are not HIV positive, if you are not at that point yet, how risky is it to start taking ARVs now?
Well, all of the trials that are currently being conducted, including Caprisa 004, are looking at that issue of safety. And I think, Karin, it's really important to lay the groundwork here. By the time we actually get to testing a product in a human, there has been a huge amount of prior research that's been undertaken, first in the laboratory. If it looks promising in the laboratory, then it's tested in animals. If it looks safe and efficacious in animals, only then do we move into very small-scale testing with humans. Again, all of this staged approach is very much to protect the safety of humans. And even in the large-scale trials, we are continuing to collect information on the safety of the product. And the results from the Caprisa trial and other trials that have been evaluating tablets throughout Eastern Africa have both shown that the dosing is safe among people who are HIV negative.
Did you come up with any, or did anybody come up with any side effects from this testing that you've done with the Caprisa trial?
In the Caprisa trial, they did find that women who were randomized to and taking the active ingredient did tend to have a little bit more diarrhea than the other women, but they looked at a range of different side effects, and that was the only thing that they found.
The other quite promising thing that came out of those trials was that they discovered that the use of this gel reduced the risk of women contracting herpes simplex virus 2.
Yes, that was a finding from the trial. I think it does need to be looked at in further detail because it was a secondary objective of the trial, but that is something that is going to need further research and follow-up.
And when we're talking about new products, Mary, we always come up against this horrible thing called cost. How is that going? I think because initially it was worked out that it would cost about 50 United States cents, 50 American cents for each two-dose application. And for us, you have to times that by quite a lot. It is hoped that larger-scale manufacturing obviously would bring the price down significantly. Is that quite one of the main factors or another thing in this trial?
Well, in the current trials that we at the Orem Institute are doing, we're not looking at the cost considerations, but there are certainly other researchers and economists out there looking at those kinds of things. However, I think the bottom line here is that we have to look at an ounce of prevention is often worth a pound of cure. And the cost of supporting somebody and keeping them alive and well once they become HIV positive is phenomenal. And so we have to really compare it against the cost of what is the cost of actually preventing an infection in the first place.
You mentioned Orem having a few sites here in South Africa, but this VOICE trial is actually going to be carried out in Zimbabwe, Uganda, South Africa, and Malawi. So it's quite a lot of sub-Saharan Africa.
Yes, and that's a really wonderful thing because you really want to be able to draw conclusions from a wide variety of populations. And if we continue to see the very promising result, then we can have more confidence that the product really is effective in preventing HIV among women. And that's a really key thing also because women are at very high risk for HIV in Southern Africa and especially in South Africa. And women just aren't able to use condoms, or at least not condoms, not enough, given the HIV rates among women. And so this will really give women in South Africa an option for being able to take control of their own HIV prevention.
That is one of the risks here, though, in Africa or in sub-Saharan Africa, and we're talking specifically here about South Africa, is that when it comes to sexual activity, a lot of women just really don't have a choice. And this is going to give them more control over their own lives, basically.
Yes, absolutely. That's just such an important point to make. It does. The research has shown that many women do choose ultimately to inform their partners that they're going to use a microbicide product in the multiple trials that have been done with many different products. However, it's very different than a condom because condom use depends upon the man agreeing and actively doing something. With microbicides, the woman often shares that she's going to use the product with her partner, but then it's up to her to actually do it, and she's able to actually do that much more so than when using a condom.
Because I rather read a rather frightening statistic in that the World Health Organization reported that contraceptive use in sub-Saharan Africa remains at just 20%. That is extremely low.
Yes, many of these products here are actually being evaluated both for their contraceptive properties as well as their HIV prevention properties. Some of them that had been tested in the past, it was hypothesized that they might also help to prevent pregnancy. But the flip side to that is that in many African cultures, including here in South Africa, is that fertility is a very important thing to women and to couples and can sometimes be a barrier to people using something that will prevent HIV if it also is going to stop them from becoming pregnant. So that is a really important consideration when we're talking about preventing things, preventing HIV as well as pregnancies for couples.
Now, putting something like this on the market, I know there was a remark from the General Secretary of the Treatment Action Campaign who said that for something like this to actually go onto the market, we would need to see a lot of community mobilization around the product. And it boils down to awareness, I think education and awareness.
Absolutely it is. And let me just put you in the picture here in terms of there is a lot of groundwork that goes into before we even start a trial. And I think that this is helping to increase the community awareness about the potential products that are out there that are currently being tested. For example, at our Orem sites, both at Clarksdorp and in Rustenburg, we have a whole community team, and it's their job to go out there and educate the community about HIV and TB, and also specifically about the types of trials that we are engaging in so that the community can support us in those trials, but also just be very current with what's happening in terms of the potential for HIV prevention within their community.
And we're looking at results, I believe, possibly in 2013?
Right. For the VOICE trial, it's planning to enroll over 5,000 women. It's been up and running in the field for the past year, and it's got over 1,000 women enrolled so far. Women will be followed for a minimum of a year, and so it's looking like we're going to have results in about 2 years from now.
Is this looking like our most promising next step in our fight against the HIV virus?
Well, we can only hope. You know, the thing that's important to remember, Karen, is that research is a question. And the question may be, yes, it works, no, it doesn't. And what you have to do is you've got to follow the process and conduct your trial to the highest possible ethical and scientific standards. And then at the end, you get an answer. Sometimes the answer is disappointing, like what happened to us with our vaccine trials a few years back. But it doesn't mean the trial was bad. It means we just got the answer, and a disappointing answer, sooner than we expected. So hopefully, I'm hopeful for this, but again, we have to let the trial play itself out and see what we get, because it is research.
Well, Mary, I wish you much success with your trials, and hopefully we'll have some good results, albeit only in 2013. But, you know, we'll have to just be patient and wait. And I'm sure there's lots of new developments on the horizon as we speak. So this possibly won't be the only one that will be ongoing at this time. Thank you very much indeed for joining me on the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Dr. Mary Latka is an epidemiologist at the Aurum Institute, as well as being the principal investigator for the VOICE trial at the Aurum sites. And as we said earlier, the VOICE stands for the Vaginal and Oral Interventions to Control the Epidemic.